Guys, thanks for having me. And yeah, yes, to be honest with you, there's no place like home, man. Yes. Telling you, but that's really why one's got to go. Because one gets too comfortable. And God's been challenging us so badly on that. To the point where we were asked to go to Durban a couple of months ago, and I said no. And I came up with brilliant excuses. And you know, your heart and your spirit and God, you know, is saying to you, listen, you're settling for the comfortable spot. And if that's what you choose, Praisiera, he gave us decision-making abilities, then I will let you go in that thing. But he works all things together, amen? I find myself in a situation where I'm learning so much, and I'm completely out of the comfort zone. And to work with Fred and Lucille can get interesting sometimes. They challenge you. They don't allow you to settle for the mundane. They don't allow you to settle for your concept of salvation. Because why is the cross such a big thing? You know, why does God make such a fuss about it if it's just it happened and it's over? There's got to be so much more to it. There's got to be. And I don't think we'll ever know the depth of the cross until we see Christ again. But with that said, that's actually the end of the sermon. Hey, that's actually how Hollywood works. They figure out what they want to happen in the end, and then they work it back. And then you get a brilliant movie. Guys, it's 10:15. When do we knock off? Okay, great. So, Ross, please ring the bell at 2:45. Can I move this, Ross? Is it okay? Thanks. Moving furniture on. Okay, guys, let's just pray. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness toward us, Lord. And we want to thank you for your spirit, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the fact that we're here today is a predestined thing, Lord. I thank you that we can be in this place, just, Lord, of privilege, Lord. And I just think of all those people out there, Lord, that's never heard the gospel, Lord. Never. Never, Lord. Just again this morning, 2.4 billion people never heard the name of Jesus. Lord, that's unthinkable, Lord. And I just can't get it past my mind, Lord. But help us this morning, Lord, to just come and get a grasp of that and your desperation for those people to hear the goodness, Lord, of you, Lord. What you did on the cross, Lord. And, Lord, I'm just blown away again by just your love for us, Lord. And just the lengths you went to. Sometimes I just don't know why. And then other times I do have an idea. But, Lord, this morning, we just come and stand before your throne, Lord, and say thank you. Because that's all we know how to do, Lord. Is say thank you. Thank you, Lord. And help us to grow in the knowledge of you, Lord. Especially in our spirits, Lord, that our spirits will really just wake up to the truth of the cross, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys. There it says responsibility of the light. Now, the light meaning could be many things, but the one I want to refer to this morning is the light that entered the world. And we know it's Jesus and so on, but there's another light, the fire, that he's deposited and that he gave to us. And we're going to get to that. But I kind of broke it up. You know, I did MTP a couple of weeks ago, and there you learn a couple of things. Praisiera. You learn that the way you have been preaching is not exactly doctrinal. So if I've preached here before, forgive me. But the fact that lives do change at the end of the day means God is present and he made up for my shortcomings. Hey, am I forgiven? Yes, yellow still. If you're here today, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so we're in the presence of God. So let's listen to what his word says. Let's lay our foundation, right? Responsibility of the light is the title, but the favorable conditions for the light. Now we go to Romans 10 verse 9. We all know this. Do I even have to read it? Yes, I do. Let's go to verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Okay, so yeah, you're confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You're confessing with your mouth. And Ross did this a couple of times, and Dr. Courtney Becker, he also guns it. Repeat scripture. Repeat it. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Do you know what that says to me? It's lip service. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read further. And it says, if you believe in your heart. Now there's the curveball. That God raised him from the dead, him being Jesus, you will be saved. You will be saved. Guaranteed, no questions asked, you are saved. But now you can, we, us. You know, we can go on about this, you know, the lip service, yes, and you can get saved 50,000 times, believe it or not. Because if you just confess with your mouth, because we are able to do that, if we are honest. But if you believe in your heart, you are saved. You are. Okay? And it says there you will be, so meaning you still got to do that thing. You got to still confess from your heart. The lips is just something to vocalize, or it's like baptism, you know? It's an outward expression of what happened in your spirit. You see? So, well, it's not talking about that really today. So, salvation is crucial. So, I'm just laying a bit of a foundation here, guys. Salvation is crucial for what's to come. Okay? So now, if you haven't made this transition from darkness into light, as in the confession, a heart confession, you know, then the next step's going to be kind of difficult to comprehend or grasp or to understand or even to get a taste of. You might witness it, but you will not be able to experience it as if you had to actually receive Christ as your Redeemer. Okay? So, guys, if there's anyone here, and maybe I still need to learn to be a bit more sensitive about this, but I just know what Christ did in my life. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today's the day you want to make a heart confession, okay? Don't wait till tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. I'm telling you, the time is quickening. The end is nigh. That is the truth, and they've been preaching about it since Jesus left. And they said, yes, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Believe you me, he's coming. Have you watched the news lately? The other thing about the news is, yes, sorry for my sigh. I just get so, you know, I'm trying not to scream. Thing is, if you watch the news, you know, it kind of lets you in on what to pray for. Because the news will quickly let you know where the world that we are in, where it's at, so to speak. So if you don't watch the news, if you don't read the newspaper, if you say, ach, klom tos, you know what? I don't know what you're praying for. What are you praying for then? Lord, let your kingdom come. In what? What is that what? In this world. Why? See, these are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Why? Why even pray if you don't know what's going on in the world? Because if you're saved, you are called. And if you're called, you are called for a purpose. You're not just called for nothing. Because if you got saved and there was no call on your life, you wouldn't have been sitting here. You'd have been at home with Jesus. But the fact that you're still sitting here and we hear it over and over and God's challenging me on this thing, the fact that I am still here means I have a part to play in seeing his kingdom come in this place. And that, again, could mean one of the 10,000 things. And what God said to me the other day, why is healing such a big deal to me? Because I said, Lord, when I pray for somebody, I would like to see them getting healed. He said, are you praying wrong? I said, how's that? See, man, God, we chat. Anyway, but obviously I have major respect. He's like God. Hallelujah. So, he said his kingdom needs to come on earth. So I said, yo, that's kind of out there, you know. It's vague. His kingdom needs to come when I lay hands on somebody, because the Bible says lay hands. His kingdom coming into a lower kingdom. What does that mean? What does that mean? The rules and the regulations of the lower kingdom actually needs to give way to the superior power. That's seeing God's kingdom come. So when next time when you pray for someone, when you lay hands on someone that's got a broken leg, the leg snapped, right? You can actually say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Because he's supernatural, you see, meaning over and above what we deem as normal. The natural must give way to the authoritative power. That's what his kingdom coming into this place means. Everything that is lower than him gives way to his rules. That's what it means. So Lord, when we pray again, Lord, let your kingdom come. Please just realize what we are saying. There is a weight to that statement. There's such a way, and God's challenging me on it. So do I really want to pray for this person? Do I really want to pray for this area? Do I really want to pray for this city? God, let your kingdom come in the city. Guys, do you know, do we realize what we are asking? We are saying darkness flee from the city. Do you know how many years darkness has ruled and reigned in certain areas of the city? And then we in an instant expect it just to go away when we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. You must expect resistance when you pray stuff like that. So in expecting it, you are geared, and then you don't take it lightly either, because you're going to battle now. And you have chosen to be in the front line. So get that shields up. You know, wear that helmet of salvation. Get the sword in the hand. And by the time you go to battle, you need to be trained up. And this is not part of this sermon at all. I don't know. So I'm just going with it. So you need to be trained up. So when we stand up and say, yes, here I am, Lord, use me. That is really the day you came to salvation. Hallelujah. So if you're saved, it's too late. You've signed up. You've signed up. But that's not the scary part. Now you get into training. And that's what's been happening to Leanne and I over this last 6 years. We've been in training. And it's never going to stop. But there is a time when that you are fit for battle. And I believe now is the time for us. And trust me, I'm not being like you won't believe. Durban's a big city, you know. And I've been doing a lot of reading about Durban. But I see, yeah, it's where the Zulus did their thing, you know. And they really took ground there. And the English pulled in and the whole shebang. There's so much conflict in the spirit going on there. Guys, it's a big task. But I thank God that I don't do it in my own strength. I just go stand before the cross and I say, oh, let your light come here, Lord. But let me move on. It's already 25 past, you see. Okay. Point two, the purpose of the light. Can I move on? Yes, the purpose of the light. Let's read, because here I want to get stuck. So guys, die unerki, but I braai. And he went. Try not to think about it. Okay, the purpose of the light. John 1 verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Sorry. In the beginning was the Word. So, okay. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Okay? Mind bender. And the Word was God. Even worse. Jeez. So I'm going to move on to 2. He was in the beginning with God. Now guys, suddenly the Word was with God, and all that turns into a He. Suddenly, it says, He was in the beginning with God. Okay? Is that what it says there? So suddenly, if you refer to a He, you're taking on some sort of personality, some sort of being. Okay? All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Yes, that line still gets me. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Guys, pretty much, if I can just sum it up for you, what it says there, Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning, right? He was the Word. Okay? So now, God, in His amazingness, says, okay, Jesus, it's time. Now, whether Jesus knew about this or not is questionable, you know. But He says, it's time. It's time for you to go. Okay? Now, you better know that before man was even created, the cross was already in mind. And that's a struggle for some of us. But then, God, why would you plan it that way? Because He knew He's going to give man decision-making abilities, and He knew what man's going to do. Okay, so He's already put the plan in place to redeem us, because He's God. He's just so good. Amen. So here we have a case where the Word eventually became flesh, and then it's referred to the Word as a He, and He is the light, and then He's gone into the world. So Jesus Christ rocks up on this little planet, keeping in mind the one He created. That was the shocker for me. the very planet he created here to come and die on. How does that work? How does that work? He's the authority. Meanwhile, he's got to come and submit to the hand of man. Who werkt dit, julle? And what this did to me was it really came to wake up this thing inside of me that said, listen, your king came to die for you. Okay? Kiddies, I love them. Your king came to die for you, and I'm giving him the back end, David, by saying, I don't need you, Lord. So by saying, I don't need to be saved, I can make it on my own. Really, that's what one is saying, if we're honest with ourselves. And please don't be condemned this morning, because we make decisions. Okay? Like anything else in life, if you make a bad decision, there's consequences. If you make a good one, there's also consequences. So, you know, so I, for a long time in my life, turned away from Christ because I thought I knew better. And then when I started looking at the fruit, it was seriously bad. And people I was involved with at the time, certain authorities, literally wrote me off. I was in a place where it was said that I'll amount to nothing. I'm a goner, basically. It was said to me, Elliot. And I think that was part of what woke me up, knowing that I need salvation, because I've heard this message over and over and over. And now, okay, if the world writes you off, then you're pretty much wasted, eh? I mean, if the world doesn't want you, then you got to know. You're in a bad space, man. But then, funny enough, Jesus wants you. Praise the Lord. So I get saved and all that. But here's the thing. The light came into the world, okay? And the world couldn't comprehend it, the darkness. The darkness referring to us now, yeah, in our hearts. And I'm just going to talk straight this morning. There is places in our hearts that we do not want to surrender to God. We have made a decision that I will not let him into this space. I'm just talking to you like God talks to me, and he says to me, you do not want me there because you know change is going to come. That dark spots need to be lit up, because there's things harboring in those little chambers that is really producing seriously bad fruit in your life. And guys, it's not an instant thing. It's a decision we make, and the process begins. So it's not a matter of just getting saved, like we always hear, just get saved. There is a process that then begins. You go into training, and that is of refining, purification. And after a while, you see people responding to you differently. They are drawn to you. All those kinds of things. Why? The light that is within you. But here's the thing. Jesus comes into the world, the light of the world, and he gets rejected. He gets rejected. Now, one would have thought this amazing, glorious light in a dark place like this would be received with ease. But you see, it's the flesh. It's that flesh that says, oh, I identify this light firstly, like the demons identify who Jesus Christ is. There's another scripture there in Acts where the guys want to cast out demons in the name of Jesus because they heard Paul did it, and the demons said, okay, I know Paul, I know Jesus, and whatever. Who the flip are you? And we know the story, what happened there. The demons attacked them, stripped them naked, and they ran out of the house. Like a call, humiliated, the whole story. So you see, that is a natural manifestation of something there, where if we try and do things, lip service once again, confess with your mouth, try and do things that the spirit-filled believer does, you will end up humiliated. And God is calling us to a relationship of authenticity. We need to get real about this. And we need to stop playing church. The superficial stuff God is done with. He's done with it. He's calling a church that is authentic and that is real with him. And guys, it's not, this corporate gatherings is awesome. It's a celebration of what we believe and in whom we believe. But it's when we go away, when the little lights start dispersing into the darkness. It's when we go away from here. And my thing is, what I struggle to understand is, why don't people come to church? That's where you get encouraged. That's where you get built up. That's where you get strengthened to go back into the darkness. That's like going to battle and never touching base. Do you know what's going to happen? You will die. That's like a soldier never going back to base. He's always out in the field. You will grow weary. You must go back and replenish. And I want to encourage you guys. Church is an amazing place. It's an amazing place where you see commonalities. You see like-minded people locking into one vision, one belief. That unity that the Bible speaks about. And that's where it releases that blessing. And that blessing could be one of many things. Again, revelation of who he is. Love, kindness, peace, joy. But then you go from this place and you go forth. Amen. So Jesus was with the Father, sent into darkness, into a planet that was so dark at the time. Remember, I don't know, I think 400 years or something between Old and New Testament. 400 years in which God removed himself, so to speak. Imagine this planet today, 1 week, without God making any attempt to just guide and steer, and 1 week. Can you imagine what it's going to be like by next Sunday? If we think it's bad now, it ain't near what it'll be if God removes his hand. Because I heard something not too long ago. It's not so much that darkness is dark and it's thick and stuff. It's the absence of light. So you send light into a place that darkness is not so bad anymore. So what if we send a whole bunch of lights into a place? Amen. Okay, so here's the thing. Coming back to the responsibility of the light. You see, Jesus was the light, okay? And he is the light. So he came into the world, but it wasn't all fairy tale. There was a responsibility that came with that. And we all know the story. The cross of Calvary. There was a massive responsibility that was linked to the light. So if you want to be the light of the world, there is a cross to bear. Yes, I feel like I'm downloading a ton of weight on you guys this morning. But stick with me here. So there's a responsibility that comes with having this light inside of us. So by saying, yes, Lord, I stand up. I want to be a child of yours. Be Lord of my life. We are signing up for this thing. There will be a cross to carry. Okay? But that's not all bad news. Because we know the soul of the gospel. We know that he overcame the world and all those things through the cross. That's why we're sitting here today. So that's the good news. But I want to just focus more on the fact that we have a responsibility if this light is living inside of us. Okay? So let's move on. Receiving the light and the fire. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. All of them in one place. Church. Okay? And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now guys, firstly, they were all together. Meaning, Jesus gave instruction, remember earlier. He said, listen, you got to wait for this gift that I'm going to give you. My Spirit. Okay? Now, without the Spirit, you will not have light. It's going to almost be like a car without a battery, you know, without fuel. It ain't going anywhere. So you need this Holy Spirit inside of you in order for the light to shine. Okay? I'm not even going to go to the works and things yet. I just want to stop here and say, for this light to shine from within you, you need to be spiritful. Okay? You need to be spirit-filled, meaning the very nature of God inside of you. Okay? So if you're going to walk around with the spirit inside of you, remember, that is quite a responsibility. You were called spirit-filled. And now what? There's something missing. So will you get all of these tools for nothing? If you are going to study engineering, are you studying it for nothing? If you're going to study to be a doctor, do you do it for nothing? If you get saved, spiritual, do you do it for nothing? You see, so there's more. And what is this more? And this is where, you know, I'm personally challenged at the moment because ministry, one thinks it's this glorious heavenly place. And my first job ever, I got a job at Scripture Union, SU. And the first thing they told me in the interview is there are no angels floating around here, in case you were wondering. It's like, whoa, I thought this is the ministry. So that was my introduction to the ministry. However, the light that shines within me can make a difference. But I have to come to the place where I acknowledge and I am confident of the fact that within me lives the fire, the light, the Holy Spirit Himself. And what I'm challenged with at the moment, because you are thrown into all sorts of circumstances. I'm talking about staff or pastors, or I'm talking about congregational issues. I'm talking about situations where a guy walks up to you and comes for counseling, says to you, I better not say it. Basically, he swore, saying, if you think you're going to counsel me, you got another thing coming. I'm going to counsel you because that's how it normally works. So I said, then what are you doing here? So I thought I'll just play it straight. See, but this, I could not, I was so blown away by this guy's boldness. And the Holy Spirit says to me, you know what? This is the kind of guys I want. God goes, this is the kind of guys I want. This guy walked out of a bar on a Sunday night into church, started swearing at everybody because he thought everybody's crazy. He rocks up at the church office the next morning, saying, who can I see? And praise the Lord. Like, whoa. Okay, Lord, I'm new here. You know? Long story short, he gets saved and spirit-filled, walks out of there, joins a cell, and he is wreaking havoc among the believers in cell that are so lax about their faith. Guys, if we need a guy to walk out of a bar and come and tell us that, and when he walked out of there, I was like, Lord, I repent of my lackadaisiness. This guy gets saved. Now he's got more of a revelation of the cross and the Holy Spirit than I do, that's been serving the Lord for 7 years solid. What is wrong with that picture? And it's not so much because he's special and I'm not and you not, or he is. It's an availability. It's a decision to, Lord, I want more of you. A desperation for who Jesus Christ is. And that's why I started out by saying the cross of Calvary. Do we know it all? No. The answer is no, we do not. Why would it be preached for 2,500 years if it was just a wishy-washy story, if there wasn't more to it? How can a story stand for so long if it was a fairy tale? You know? How could it? That should make us think, man. We accept the cross casually, daily. Ach, Lord, just carry me through this day. Hallelujah. What is that about? Guys, we are called spirit-filled for a purpose and a reason, man. There's a reason. The fact that you woke up this morning means that there is a plan for today. Okay? And if we move on, if we go on into partnering with the light and the spirit, signs and wonders will follow. Here's the thing. Where are you situated today? And are you firstly confident of the Spirit, that this fire that is burning inside of you? Are you confident of it? And if not, we must pray this morning. We must pray. We must go before the throne of God in fear and trembling, because that's how we work out our faith. Hallelujah. Okay? And it's not just another saying. And this is where God is. It's not just another saying. There is depth in it that I haven't even... I'm clueless when it comes to that. Okay? So the guy from the bar walks in and tells me basically where I stand in my faith. I know that guy's going to be leading mission soon, man. You know? We need to be open to what God is doing in our midst. We're sticking to templates, to boxes, to all these things, and God's moving on. Are we in on it or not? That's the question. And now you get a guy like Peter, when they were sitting up there in that room, that stands up, he starts preaching the gospel, and it says, that very day. That very day. Not next week, not 2 weeks later, not a year later, that day. 3,000 people came to repentance. And we ask ourselves, how is that possible? Not because of Peter's abilities, I tell you that much. But it is because he waited in obedience for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, filled them up. He stood up and he preached the gospel. Now, we all know that story, and it's so cliched and everything. But is it really cliched? Because if it's cliched, we haven't grasped the depth of what happened there. He stood up and he started speaking about the goodness of Jesus Christ on the cross. God sending his Son light into a dark world that he created, that turned on him in order to redeem it, to pull it out of the pit of hell, because that's what it was destined for and still is for those of us who don't make this heart repentance. And these guys said, use us. And yes, we can say, but they were right there, they were with Jesus, they experienced him and whatever. You know what? Jesus is still with us. He's still with us. He said, I must go so that the gift can come. So therefore you can experience me internally, man. Not just seeing it from a distance. You don't have to sit on the sideline. You can get in there. And how do we get in there? We go to work tomorrow. That's how we get in there. We go to work with the knowledge of the fire that is burning within inside of me. That's how we do it. Where is this dark world? Well, think about your company you're working at. Is everybody saved? No. Does it mean you must stand up and preach the gospel? Not necessarily. What is God telling you to do? Have you even asked? I believe I have a mandate in that office in Stellenbosch. Great bunch of people. But God's starting to really... we leave here in 6 months. I better get the job done before I leave. That's the space I'm in now. I'm sick of wasting time. If I'm sick of it, can you imagine how God feels about it? Like, praise here finally, this child, Clint, you're waking up. So the responsibility of the light is to go out into all the world, not just to preach the gospel, but to be light. You've got to be it. You are it if you received the fire. And the reason why I refer to it as the fire is because, man, if Christ has touched you and he has filled you with his Spirit, things are going to start happening all around you. The other day, I just want to encourage you guys, not because I'm so great. I've just completely surrendered myself to the Lord. The other day, I was at the movie shop looking there for a movie. We get Fridays off. Hey, if you work at the office, you get that. Great. You work every other day. But the other thing is, so I'm there. So now I'm looking through the movies. Yes, and I just get the sense, Lord saying, the lady there that's about to scan this movie, you're going to pray for her. I was like, yeah, whatever. It's like, people here, man. You know, there's probably going to be a queue and all that. So anyway, guys, I get to the thing now. So I'm still sussing out the situation. Shop empties out. you know. So now, 2 weeks back, I preached about Moses, and Moses is moaning about God. How can I stutter and all this? And God goes, okay, I'll be with your mouth also, if that's a problem. If you go there and look in Exodus, it says, I will be with your mouth also. Now, if you're getting so particular about your insufficiencies and everything. Hey, guys. So anyway, there I am saying, okay, so I start chatting to a casual chit-chat, you know, about the movie, and I take the movie John, you know. David. I was John a while. David. You know, the life of David in the Bible. Yes, die uit teruggemaak. In elk geval. Anyway, so I think, anyway, she's like, oh, see, you're talking David now. All this. Anyway, I start asking, and it come net uit. And my nervousness, it just blurts out. You know, can I pray for you? She's like, a bit shocked. She's like, oh, yeah, ach, you know, and she's all like onzeker about it. But what I did here is she's trying to get a loan for 100,000 rand. That's what I did here while I was looking for a movie. She's in so much debt, she needs a personal loan of 100,000 rand to get out of a situation. So I said to her, you know what? Be slow with that loan you want to make, especially if you're going to a loan shark. You'll be paying back a lot more than 100,000 rand. What ends up happening is she shares an occultic background with me. I pray with her. She rededicates her life to God right there. Die duivel het haar afgeskrik. The enemy came to rattle her cage when there was a manifestation and she turned her back on Christ. She rededicates her life in the video shop and now we're in touch. There's an accountability there. She's getting her husband back into the game, back into the faith. And she's working incredibly long hours. Her kids don't see her. And we're trusting God that a door will open for her, 9 to 5. You know? The lady wept in the movie shop. She had herself gebreak. You know, she really just went before God. I stood in awe. And it comes back to obedience. You've received Christ as Savior. You're filled with His Holy Spirit for a purpose. Wherever you go, let your light shine. Wherever you go. I didn't preach at her. I just said, can I pray with you? And she did the rest. And I did pray with her for all 2 seconds because she repented already. You know, and that's what God, I believe, God is saying to us. You know, we must get out of our boxes because it's going to happen when we least expect it. But we can also miss it if we are not switched on and engaging in the conflict, because there is a real war going on. Fred shared something very interesting the other day. When somebody stands up and preach, as deliberate as I am to convey the message that I believe God has given me, so deliberate the enemy is to make sure that you guys don't hear it, even though you're sitting right here. That's how close the battle is. So if you haven't heard anything I said this morning, you need to be saved. You need to be spirit-filled. The fire needs to burn inside of you. And then you need to go. Go where? Leave my job? Join the church? No, go to work. Let that fire burn. Because I'm telling you, lives will change. And the other thing I want to say to you is, don't be impatient. Don't be impatient. Follow the Spirit. The Spirit is sensitive. He knows what's cooking in people's hearts. But be open to when that door opens, you take it, boy. You go for it. Looi hom sommer goed toe. Okay. So bless you guys. I don't know if there is anybody that wants to be saved this morning. If you want to be spirit-filled. If you have lost your fire for some reason. We're just going to pray together, and you're going to pray. You're going to say, Lord, I repent of my lackadaisiness, and I'm just going to come to you. I want to just be filled again. I want to be rekindled. Let this little flamme turn into a wildfire. But guys, it's going to take discipline. It's going to take spending time with the Lord. It's going to take pressing in. It's not just going to happen either. It takes discipline. But hey, what soldier doesn't have discipline? And have you seen one without discipline? Sad story. Okay. Bless you guys. Amen. Thanks, Ross.
Clint, don't you just want to pray a prayer of importation? Thanks, man.
Let's just close our eyes. Father, Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you did. Lord, way back then, Lord, where you sent your son, Lord, but we know that it was predestined, even that, Lord. Even the cross was predestined, Lord. And Father, thank you that we have a privilege, Lord, of coming to realize what happened there, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are in a place where we can receive the truth, Lord, the gospel, Lord, for what it is, Lord. But this little bit we know, Lord, we just want to come and repent even of that, Lord, that we haven't pressed in, Lord. We haven't pressed in, Lord, because there's so much more. And Lord, right now, we just come and I come stand before you, Lord, as even a strong man, Lord. I just come and stand up for on behalf of this congregation even, Lord. And I say, Lord, we are ready, we are willing, and we are waiting. Holy Spirit, come and fill this house. Come and fill this house with your fire, Lord. Lord, that it's not just a once-off thing either, Lord, that really, Lord, it will be an ongoing thing, Lord, where people here, Lord, will really come to know you as the true Spirit of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this impartation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're releasing right now knowledge into hearts, Lord. A true revelation of Jesus Christ and what he came to do on the cross for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have already gone ahead of us. Thank you, Lord, that all situations, all scenarios, every person that we are to come into contact with has been lined up, has been pre-planned, Lord. It's been destined for us to meet with these people, Lord. I pray for open eyes, Lord. The spiritual eyes will open, Lord. Hearts will open. Hearts will be receptive to people that need to talk, Lord. For people that wanting to say what's going on in their life. Ach, Lord, we just stand before you inadequate, Lord. We fall short. And Jesus, I thank you that the cross makes up for way more than our shortcomings. The blood of Jesus is on us. And we are marked. And therefore, death will not come unto us. Like with the Passover, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we have been marked by you, Lord. And therefore, we will have life and life in abundance because of your Spirit that lives inside of us. Not just a head knowledge and a lip service, a heart condition, and filled with the Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that every person here will come to know you in the way that you planned for them to know you, Lord. Not template-based, Lord, but a personal encounter with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you this morning, Lord. We worship you alone, Lord. You are our God. There is no other, Lord. There is no other beside you. We come to you in fear and trembling this morning, Lord, and we just surrender our hearts to you, Lord. We sign up for the mandate, for the call, Lord. We sign up for what you started, Jesus, to be the light of the world. We say, yes, here we are. Come and use us. Come and facilitate us, Lord. Because we don't know what to do. We don't know how. Just lead, Lord. Lead the way, Jesus. You've given us the example, but Lord, we are still stuck in a mentality of, Lord, give us strategy. Lord, you said, go into the world. Lord, we're in it. And still, we're not doing anything and we repent. But Lord, we thank you that you are good God, and Lord, that you're going to give us now the strength and the boldness to do it via your Spirit, Lord. Because we realize, Lord, that it's not by might, it is not by power, Lord, but Lord, solely by your Spirit. Your Spirit, your fire, Lord, your abilities. And I think of your Spirit that was hovering over the water there right in the beginning of Genesis. And how you said it's the same Spirit that raised you up from the dead, Jesus. And now it's the same Spirit that you say is living inside of us. The Spirit of life and power. Thank you, Jesus, for this. And we receive it this morning in your name. Amen.